Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I tell you that it's a good thing that it's Friday, but basically every day is Friday at this point. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan, welcome in. Thanks for listening. Great to have you with us as always. We're keeping you company until 2 o'clock today. DR, what's going on?
Buddy, this is going to sound like one of those cheesy bits. You know, like how when we were kids, adults would say things that weren't actually funny, and they would laugh at each other. You know what I'm talking about? I'm not kidding you. It feels like every day's the same. Like, you know the thing that everyone's saying to each other when they do talk? I swear to you, I thought it was Thursday. Like, I was stunned.
Until right now?
Well, no. I mean, I knew moments before you said Friday. I keep looking at my computer, and I'm going, well, it's on the fritz. The damn thing's broken, because in the upper right-hand corner, it's like Friday, 10:03 a.m. FRI. It says FRI. And I'm going, well, This thing is clearly malfunctioning. Add another problem to the pile. I've got to get my computer fixed now. It doesn't know what damn date and time it is. I legitimately thought it was Thursday. The monotony of this thing has officially gotten here, pal.
Yeah, it's broken you. It's over. Danny doesn't
much.
Know what day it is.
I'm not. This is kind of jarring. Now, usually it's like I thought it was later in the week. So I've never had I actually thought it was further back in the week. So I don't even know what the point of this is. I'm just saying that's what happened to me. Stunned it's Friday. Stunned.
A ton of things we can get into today that are going on in sports. A lot of NFL news to cover, including D'Angelo Hall saying he's not sure how Dwayne Haskins ends up being the starting quarterback for the Redskins, which I want to tackle with you. That'll be good. Logan Paulson's going to be on the show today at 1 o'clock. Looking forward to that. He watched the film of a bunch of the tight ends with the Redskins now for us, and he's going to give us some grades and some thoughts as a pretty smart guy who studies the game on what new tight end Logan Thomas brings, as well as Richard Rodgers and the guys that are already in the building. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he thinks about the tight end position. Danny, weekend plans, anything brewing for you guys that is different than these previous days?
I think it's just less academic fights, like less, you know, meltdown, anger, furious, temper tantrums pre-9 a.m. I think it's the only thing that we have planned. It's just more of the same. A lot of devices, a lot of fine, just take it, a lot of that sort of stuff. And then it's all kind of centered around, you know, my the same schedule as last weekend, right? So you're doing 9 o'clock Sunday morning, and I'm doing noon Sunday midday with Pete. And I think you're with it's the Pulse and Pickle train again on Sunday morning.
Yeah, it is. 9 to noon, EB and myself, and then you and Pete afterwards from noon to 3 on Sunday. So, you know, all your hosts from all the shows that you care about will be on the air all weekend long to give you some content and keep you guys up to date with everything going on and give you a little normalcy in your lives. We had our first social distancing happy hour last night.
Oh, you did it?
Yeah, so we went outside, laid a little blanket down in the front yard, and our neighbors, a couple houses over, in our little townhouse cul-de-sac here that we're buddies with, came out. They've got a young kid about our age, same as the president. And so they did the same thing. They came out kind of about 10 feet from us. We sat there. We poured drinks, and we laughed a little bit and had a good time. We invited some other neighbors who did not come out. I don't know if we should take offense to that or not.
I would directly take offense to it and start a blood feud. I think now's the time.
Well, here's what was interesting. I have to assume they didn't get the text message. However, they were out walking their dogs during the happy hour.
Mm.
So they kind of walked right past our happy hour and kind of gave us like a little half wave, almost like I've got to do something, and walked right past us to take their dogs on a nice walk. But the social distancing happy hour last night, it felt good. I hadn't done that yet, but got outside, sat on a blanket, drank a Jack and Diet Coke, and enjoyed myself.
How about it? So I think we've all done the FaceTime one or the Zoom one or the whatever you call the different services, house party. There's a bunch of different things where you can do this deal with people around the country or folks that aren't, you know, immediately in our vicinity. But I've seen that a couple times when I've been out on walks, you know, just trying to get the kids out of the house for a few minutes. We're all neighbors, we're all buds, we've known each other for a while, and we're all the people that are together, right? Like, you know, husband and wife or, you know, whatever, father, son, they'll stand in one spot and then it's like 20 feet and we're still having this conversation. It looks normal if you didn't know anything was amiss, but then you realize how atypical this whole thing is because they're, you know, the everybody's paired off in their own little fiefdom, but still close enough to have conversations. It's a weird looking thing.
So did you see the story of Tony Baselli getting a coronavirus, COVID-19?
No, I missed that.
So the Hall of Fame tackle for the Jaguars, and this is where I get scared. He's in impeccable shape now. I don't know if you've seen him lately. You think of him as an offensive lineman who's a little bit girthy with some extra weight. I mean, he's now pretty cut up and in great shape doing sports, broadcasting TV, radio for Westwood One and some other outlets. But I guess he started feeling ill for the first time on March 16th.
Mm-hmm.
And right away, didn't think much of it. He thought he had a cold, maybe some type of allergies or something. It wasn't until 2 days later that he felt a lot worse. And on that day, he said he got a call as he was kind of feeling at his worst of this illness from someone he had been around saying that they tested positive for COVID-19. So he said, uh-oh, here we go. So he immediately called his doctor, and he got tested that day. 2 days later, he received the test results that revealed he had the coronavirus. So he said the symptoms worsened over the next 4 days. Initially, he was just kind of at home trying to, you know, make sure that it wasn't going to get serious and beat it out. So he had a really rough night. He couldn't sleep at all. He was wheezing heavily. So his doctor actually sent him to the Mayo Clinic, where he would end up being in the intensive care unit for multiple days. His family was in self-quarantine because of his diagnosis. His wife, Angie, eventually was diagnosed as having it as well. She had very minimal symptoms. She didn't have much to deal with, I guess, compared to him. But the only way he could communicate with them over 5 days during, you know, hospitalization was text messages while he was having these really serious procedures, and doctors were saying things to him like, hey, if this doesn't work, we'll have to go to the next level. And he's thinking, well, what is the next level?
What is the next level? Goodness.
But he said, you know, to this day, he still feels kind of weak. He's battling fatigue, hasn't shaken his cough yet, but he's over the worst of it, obviously. And he doesn't have an appetite. He's lost over 20 pounds. He had an egg for breakfast, he told somebody. I'm reading a story here. He said, an egg. And basically that was it, and he was full.
Yeah, I'm good.
He joked. But, yeah, he's down over 20 pounds. He tested negative for the virus on Wednesday. So I guess, when you're negative, it just leaves your system. Could come back, I suppose. But the crazy thing is, you know, at his worst, he had trouble breathing. He was hooked up, not to a ventilator, but like to oxygen while they were trying to get his oxygen levels up. And if it didn't work, you know, whatever that next level was, they were going to have to try. But this is a guy who is in way better shape physically and way better off than certainly I would be, or so many of our listeners. And he ended up in the intensive care. And I think that's what's scary to me is, like, I won't use the word dismissing, but I keep telling myself, well, most of these cases are very mild.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a balance.
People my age, unless you're super old or this or that, it's not going to affect you that much. And the reason we're staying away from people is because you're trying to take care of those folks, and that's important too, and they matter just as much. But really the fact is every case is different. You know, I've seen now that it's tragic, but as young as like 6 months old has died from the coronavirus, and there are nurses who were in their 20s who have died. So I just keep hearing people saying, well, if you haven't had some type of pre-existing conditions, or if you're not old, you're fine. And that's just not the case. And I'm not trying to scare anyone. That's certainly not the job for us or my goal. But my point is, you just don't know. And yes. Tony Boselli's story, I think, makes that pretty clear.
Well, there's a balance, right? I mean, there are for every. I don't know how to say this the right way. So I'm trying to walk the toe of the line kind of in the middle. I'm reminding myself everything you said, where I go on one side, so many thousands of people have recovered, so many thousands of people are fine, so many thousands of people will get it and not even know it, so many thousands of people will have some symptoms, be pretty banged up for a few days, and then bounce right back, and that's that, and that's the end of their journey in this thing. But as you said, there's also this sort of bad luck lottery, right, where if you were to just to pick on attributes, Tony Boselli versus anything, Tony Boselli would win, right? Tony Boselli would never be a someone that I would say that guy's at risk, but there's, you know, a million things down to like the very fraction of a genome that makes you maybe more susceptible or not. In general, there are certain cases where, you know, hey, someone's got a pre-existing condition or someone's already had pneumonia or someone's dealing with asthma. That's scary, et cetera, right? But for, you know, for every one of those, there's the marathon runner or there's the, you know, unbelievably in shape 31-year-old or, you know, that sort of stuff that keeps you scared straight on this thing, right? Because it's, as you said, it's just sort of bad luck and circumstance. We are doing our best for the big part of this graph, which is, as you said, people that are more susceptible. That's tends to be the elderly, people that are, maybe immunodeficient in some kind of way. That's like the theme of this whole distancing thing. But then there's always that one case that's exceptional, right? The incredibly in shape superstar athlete, not that far removed from his playing career, that everybody would look up to in terms of the peak physicality. That's the person that's experiencing something bad too. So that's the balancing act, right? I always remind myself, both are true. Take it seriously, but at the same time, you can't panic. That's sort of my balancing act, and I kind of vacillate back and forth between being like, "Are you kidding me?" and "Everything will be fine."
Yeah, and no one should be panicking, and worrying before something happens doesn't help you anyway.
No, it does not.
But I just think it's important that people don't feel somewhat invincible either, right?
I mean,
if it can happen to him, it can happen to anyone, and so you mm-hmm. take the proper precautions. And all you can do are the things at your disposal. You know, control what you can control. Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. I was really surprised to see D'Angelo Hall's comments on the Redskins quarterback situation. He does not see a path for Dwayne Haskins to being the guy all year over Kyle Allen. We will give you those comments and explain next on G&D here on The Fan. Welcome back, Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Dwayne Haskins, the subject of discussion on NFL Network over the last 24 hours, pretty extensively with the Redskins having traded for Kyle Allen. And one of the shows that was discussing him was a broadcast going around the NFL with D'Angelo Hall on NFL Total Access, the longtime Redskins DB who's still plugged in with the organization, has talked in the past about wanting to be a part of Washington's front office. A quote from D'Angelo Hall via SI.com, "I don't think Dwayne Haskins is going to respond," Hall said in his NFL Network analysis, talking about the challenge now coming from Ron Rivera. And I want to play the clip in its entirety so you can hear what D'Angelo Hall had to say in a moment. But the idea is that Hall doesn't know that for sure that Haskins is going to be their starting quarterback. Derek Carr also kind of addressing this, saying he's going to have a very short leash because your new head coach just went and brought in a quarterback he's worked with before. You know, I'm on record, Danny, as saying talent rises to the top and the cream separates itself. And Dwayne Haskins is going to move ahead of Kyle Allen on this depth chart pretty quickly if they have some type of competition. I was actually told when they traded for Kyle Allen that a true competition wasn't really coming. They think of him as a backup. Look, if for some reason Haskins is not on the field when healthy and Allen is, then to me that says a lot more about Haskins than it does Allen. It's not going to be because Kyle Allen is some godsend and the Redskins didn't know what they were acquiring. It's going to be a bad sign for the second-year quarterback from Ohio State. I just can't see it, but I get the logic that just secret ballot, no names involved, saying coach inherits quarterback who didn't play well last year, immediately trades for quarterback who started for him the previous season. If you just look at that blind, that does sound very good for Kyle Allen.
Well, here's where we'll disagree. I think if all things were normal and Kyle Allen beats out Dwayne Haskins. Yes, emergency. Oh, my gosh. Shoot the flare guns up. Abandon ship. Let's get the hell out of here. And let's pull the ripcord on the Dwayne Haskins experience. Nothing's going to be normal about this. There's going to be no, you know, OTAs, no experience, no time in the offense. There's not going to be the mechanisms to go out and learn some of these things. And it's like a whole new language for the second-year quarterback that's already sort of behind the eight ball with how that first year went. So I think when you look at Kyle Allen, what the Redskins were doing is, yes, he's got experience in the offense. I don't care about mentorship as much as I care about they want that security blanket in case he has to play. I think they'll give Dwayne Haskins the opportunity to play early on. I think Haskins will struggle, not because he's not talented, not because of some sort of weird misnomer or sort of reputation about his work ethic or lack thereof or anything else, or some kind of nonsense about he's not smart. It's going to be because he didn't have practice time. It's going to be because he's learning a brand new offense, which is hard enough anyway without the normal repetitions that folks get. And he might struggle out of the gate a little bit. That's a reasonable thing for me. To me, the most important thing is that he gets all the experience possible and we could figure out, can he overcome some of this adversity? But I think Allen is going to play because they want some positive reinforcement. What D. Hall is saying and what Chris Russell has kind of gone hard with is it's not even to the point that I'm talking about. It's beyond that. It's when they start to line up, Kyle Allen will have the advantage because he's been in this offense before, because he's done it at a, you know, a mediocre level for a few weeks before he fell off a cliff, and he's going to be the starter. I'm not going that hard. I'm simply saying that all things were equal, I would agree with you that Haskins not winning the job and just being the guy would be alarm bells going off, but this is a really unique circumstance for the second year in a row.
So here's the lily pad I leap to from what you just said, because you're 100% right that Kyle Allen's going to know the offense better than Dwayne Haskins, and he's going to look advanced in the scheme compared to Haskins. Obviously, he's been in the offense. He's got more experience in the National Football League. He knows Scott Turner and Ron Rivera and what they're looking for. That isn't the most important part of the decision as to who's going to be on the field, in my opinion, because they're not necessarily going to be making the decision on who their starting quarterback is based on who gives them the best chance in week one, who gives them the best chance to win in week three. If they make the decision that way, then Kyle Allen will be the guy. I also don't think their offseason that they've had makes it seem like that's the game that they're playing. I think they are playing the really long game here. Everything that they've done.
Rightly so.
Everybody that has talked to Ron Rivera, who has spoken publicly, says basically that he is trying to build this thing over years, not months, right? What does that mean? That means that Dwayne Haskins' future and Dwayne Haskins' upside and the potential that he provides is a far more important attribute and asset to you than Kyle Allen helping you win one or two extra games in the fall. So, yeah, he's going to look better in camp, and he'll know the offense more. I think you need to get to a requisite knowledge for Dwayne Haskins. He's got an entire offseason, albeit one where he's not on the grass and not getting the on-field reps to the extent that he would, but to learn this offense. I mean, he could be sitting down with Kyle Allen across a long table, I suppose.
Digitally.
Distancing, every single day if he wants to between now and the start of training camp. I mean, he's a smart guy. I think he can pick up enough. He's not going to be fumbling the football all over himself and falling on the ground when he shows up at training camp. I think too highly of his acumen and his ability to pick up Jay Gruden's offense without a whole lot of reps last year. But if the decision is as simple as who knows our offense best, who's going to play best in week one, okay, maybe the answer would be Kyle Allen. I just don't think Ron Rivera is going to play that game. If they really cared about week one and winning in September and trying to make the playoffs this year, then everything that they've done since they got here, including trading Quentin Dunbar for nothing and the way they're handling Trent Williams right now and the offseason they just had where they brought in zero, you know, Pro Bowl players and maybe one impact player in Kendall Fuller, then it doesn't really mesh and it would confuse me. Here was D'Angelo Hall on the NFL Network talking about Dwayne Haskins' possibilities as a starter.
I think the jury's still out on this kid. I don't think you can totally judge a kid off of, you know, if you, you know, Ron Rivera's a former player. If you're in a player's mind, I'm thinking this. Look, we told this kid he wasn't playing. And so he obviously did not get in his playbook. Then when we found out, when we finally told him, hey, we're going to throw you in, we throw him in the middle of a game, he's unprepared. And then we see him gradually get a little bit better, but still not the way we really want him to, you know, perform at the quarterback position. I think by just not trusting him right now, it's saying a whole lot. And, you know, I don't think Dwayne Haskins is going to respond. A lot of young kids, don't respond to that style of coaching. Ron Rivera is a old school mentality type of coach. He wants competition. These young guys, they want things given to them. I would have loved to see Dwayne Haskins get the opportunity to be this starting quarterback in Washington, not have a talented guy like Kyle Allen behind him, a more veteran seasoned guy behind him that he knows the keys are his and he can fully go out there, make mistakes, and just be young and energetic. With Kyle Allen breathing down your throat, you are not going to be able to make many mistakes. And so I love the kid, but I don't know how he wins his starting job, man.
Wow. I don't know how he wins this starting job. So I'm really surprised. I texted D and I asked him if he wanted to come on the show today. So I'm waiting to hear back from him, and we'll try to get him on. But he, you know, the Kyle Allen assessment that he's got there, he talks about him being talented and this is going to create competition, and I wish they wouldn't have gone and gotten someone as good as Kyle Allen. To me, that speaks to Dwayne Haskins potentially either in D'Angelo's mind or period not being good enough. Like if Kyle Allen is a big threat to a guy that was just drafted in the top 15, we have bigger problems. Would Kyle Allen be a threat to Kyler Murray? Would Kyle Allen be a threat to Daniel Jones? No. Would Kyle Allen be a threat to Drew Lock, who was drafted in the second round after the end of last year? Now, I get that the head coach that brought him in is Ron Rivera, but I would say put that same situation on any of those guys. Kyle Allen, with all due respect to him, because I'm a little higher on him than you are in the sense that I think he had some really good games. He ran the offense well. I think he'll be a very solid backup for a long time. I think he could be a starter on a bad team and have some 20 touchdown, you know, 15 interception seasons and get you to that 7-9 range from time to time. I think he is, you know, 5 out of 10, so to speak. But when we talk about, well, man, it would have been nice if they didn't really threaten Haskins and they didn't do anything to make him feel uncomfortable, which is the idea that D'Angelo Hall is pushing, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. He's
I mean, to me, that's going and getting Cam Newton. That's bringing in Jameis Winston. That's
Hall's
trading
comments
for Andy
to
Dalton.
Me, Grant, are more about, as I agree with you, they're more about Haskins. For what Hall's talking about is immaturity, and he's not sold on Dwayne Haskins, and the kid wants things handed to him. He's entitled. A lot of things that aren't very positive about Dwayne Haskins. So I'm much higher on Dwayne Haskins than D'Angelo Hall is, it sounds like. Yeah, he had some struggles as a rookie. You could change the name and do that 1,000 times over. We saw an upward trajectory, right? Both in terms of work habits, in terms of growth, in terms of the reports, in terms of everything that came out of Redskins Park, it improved. And I really believe that's part of it. Sometimes you mature. Sometimes you got to go through struggles. It's not automatic. You show up and you are, you know, the T-1000, an emotionless robot that turns out incredible rookie seasons and then goes on to be a Hall of Famer. There was adversity there. This was as bad a situation as someone could have walked into. So that's why I'm not sold on any kind of thing yet. Now, D'Angelo Hall might prove out that he's 100% right. Let's say Haskins stinks this year, gets another chance, and stinks the following year. Okay? Tip of the cap, D'Angelo Hall saw this coming. I'm saying I'm not ready to slam the gavel just yet. And I think that's okay. And to me, this year is about making sure that I know what I have in Dwayne Haskins. My only argument in this entire thing, as someone that happens to think he can be pretty good, is I can't hold last year against him too dramatically because of how crazy and poorly planned and not cohesive last year was in terms of trying to develop a quarterback. That's all I'm saying.
In fairness, real quick, you don't plan on holding this year against him too dramatically either, it doesn't sound like, based on some of the conversations we've had, because of the offseason he doesn't get. And at some point, and I get that it hasn't been great for 2 years now for him if he's not able to have some type of a traditional offseason, but you either just play well or you don't, right? I mean, are we going into year three and just saying, well, year one we're not holding against him, and year two we're not holding against him, but this third year now, that's too long to me. I mean, this is the NFL. You have to very quickly make these decisions.
I'm looking
we get
for
into that next. I want you to react next. We're late. 800-636-1067 is the number. 800-636-1067. We'll come back to that. We'll take your calls as well. D'Angelo Hall seems to think that Dwayne Haskins is not going to win the starting job. This is after Bucky Brooks of NFL Network, their longtime analyst, also said there's a chance that Haskins isn't the guy for the Redskins. You're listening to Grant and Danny.
And, you know, I don't think Dwayne Haskins is going to respond. A lot of young kids don't respond to that style of coaching. Ron Rivera is a old school mentality type of coach. He wants competition. These young guys, they want things given to them. I would have loved to see Dwayne Haskins get the opportunity to be this starting quarterback in Washington, not have a talented guy like Kyle Allen behind him, a more veteran seasoned guy behind him that he knows the keys are his and he can fully go out there, make mistakes, and just be young and energetic. With Kyle Allen breathing down your throat, you are not going to be able to make many mistakes. And so I love the kid, but I don't know how he wins his starting job, man.
D'Angelo Hall on NFL Network. We're Grant and Danny. Welcome back. 106.7 The Fan. With Kyle Allen breathing down your throat, he said, and finished the sentence, I don't know how he'll be able to win the job. Look, all due respect to Kyle Allen, he might as well be Brandon Allen in this debate as far as I'm concerned. I think he's going to be a really good backup here for multiple years, and I hope that when he plays, if he plays, and I'm thinking that he will, by the way, because Haskins couldn't stay healthy last year, a part of his game we never talk about. He got hurt multiple times. The Kyle Allen's going to get on the field, and he knows this offense. I think that's part of why they brought him in. They think he might have to play, and he might be able to play well. Cool. But I am very comfortable with what they're doing for this reason. If Dwayne Haskins doesn't separate himself and can't be decidedly better than Kyle Allen, then I think that we have our answer anyway. You know, this notion that Kyle Allen is a problem because he might breathe on the back of Dwayne Haskins' neck and he's not going to respond to this competition. What competition? You didn't bring in Cam Newton. You didn't sign Jameis Winston or trade for Andy Dalton. Your guys' thoughts on D'Angelo Hall's comments, 800-636-1067. It's Kyle Allen. And you drafted this guy last year who's played a half season 15th overall. If when they get on the field they don't look a lot different, then I would say that you got yourself a pretty big revelation anyway. Danny, we left off last segment with me asking you about the idea that you'd gone on record previously, and you said it again a couple minutes ago, and I think you're so correct on this. Last year was not fair for Dwayne Haskins. It wasn't ideal in any way. He was a victim at times. You know, we may disagree a little bit. I think he brought some issues on himself with his lack of maturation and work and some of the things he wasn't doing early on. But it was obvious that the coaching staff's fight with ownership made it more difficult on him. We also know that this offseason is not going to be traditional and is not going to be ideal. This is going to be 2 years without a good learning environment. So at the end of this second season, how are you going to kind of view this? Will you say, well, he needs a third year because he hasn't had a fair chance yet?
Well, it all depends. I mean, what I'm saying is we need to add in all the data points, all the factors, everything that we've seen and experienced. We realize there was no worse situation for a quarterback, number one overall, number 32 overall, Mr. Irrelevant, to walk into than Dwayne Haskins last year, right? So if we're sort of saying that that's a factor, then let's count it as a factor. Let's make sure we don't just ignore that blindly when we talk about somebody's development or lack thereof. Now, I could say that, end my sentence, put a period down. Dwayne Haskins also didn't do everything he's supposed to do. I give guys a relative pass on that because is he the first 21-year-old in history to show some immaturity? And if it was still a problem at the end of the season, if he's still going out in the parking lot and popping wheelies on his motorcycle or staying out all hours of the night and showing up hungover or all these other kinds of things, then we'd have an issue. That improved as the season went on. So that was a question mark, something he didn't do well. It looked like it was getting better, just anecdotally and reading some of the reports that were coming out of Redskins Park. So that was encouraging to me. Now, again, you've got this ridiculous situation that we're all dealing with. You've got a brand-new coaching staff, a brand-new offense. That was enough to claim previous quarterbacks in the history of the world, right? You think of Jason Campbell. Who knows how good that guy could have been had he not had a million offensive coordinators in 5 years. He also may never have been good. We don't know. But again, I'm saying we've got other external factors that are no fault of the player that are going to challenge him and make this more difficult. So if he's allowed to play all 16 games, assuming health, and we don't see improvement as the year goes on and it's still this same kind of up and down, muddled stuff, and we see a lack of maturity and a bunch of things that we maybe saw year one, of course I can make a decision. I can go, you know what, this isn't worth pursuing anymore. But if we do see some flashes, if he does struggle early on, which I'm anticipating, by the way, given everything I just said, I'm not going to write the book. I'm not going to say this is over with. By the end of this year, I'm guessing we'll have a pretty good sample and a pretty good idea of if this is worth pursuing or not, the upside and everything else that we've seen. All I'm saying is I'm willing to grade on a curve for a team that's still got a complete and utter lack of weaponry, a 35-year-old running back that can't catch passes, no left tackle, and all their stuff invested on the front seven of their defense for an offense that's got 32 out of 32 ranked weaponry right now. I'm willing to give a guy a little bit more leeway maybe than some people. I guess that's my only point.
Yeah, he should get leeway, and we should grade on a curve, but he's got to show a lot more than he did last season is kind of the point. And if he doesn't, what I'm saying is we can't just get to the end of this year and dismiss everything on the field and the lack of production if he plays poorly and say, well, he has not had an ideal scenario yet. Because there aren't that many ideal scenarios for bad NFL organizations.
Sure.
This is kind of the way the league works. I happen to think that we saw him turn a corner at the end of last year. That will carry over. It's not going to be linear. It's not going to be every single game. It'll be better than the last. But I'm hopeful after those last six quarters that he will play well. Another thing I'm really going to be monitoring closely in terms of the long-term eval on Dwayne Haskins, can he stay healthy? I mean, he is in the pocket, a big target a la Ben Roethlisberger, and he doesn't mind taking on contact. And he got hurt in a game against the Packers he should have been taken out of. And he got hurt again in a game that he missed the second half of and then missed a full game. All in his first half season in the league. And we don't really ever talk about that because we're so busy kind of debating his performances. 800-636-1067 is the number. I want to get to the calls in a second. 800-636-1067. We got a really good tweet here. And I love this question. This is super smart. The tweet was, if they weren't competing in a system where Kyle Allen had already known what he's expected to do, like a neutral third-party system, they bring him in, mm-hmm. and let's say they're running like Andy Reid's system or what have you.
Okay.
Would people still feel the same way? And I would say no. I would hope no. Because if people are just right. worried about Kyle Allen being as good as Dwayne Haskins in a third-party random system, then to me, they're lying to themselves if they're saying that they're high on Dwayne Haskins.
So
you can't tell me in the same breath, I'm high on Dwayne Haskins, and I'm worried that Kyle Allen might beat him out if they're in a different system than the one Kyle Allen has a major head start on. So I think that this whole discussion, not only that we're having, but everyone's having, Danny, is because you're basically bringing in a guy who's already taken this course to compete against Dwayne Haskins in this course.
So I agree with that, and I'd also expound that in this way. A reasonable person, you and me sitting here talking, friends at a sports bar, Zooming, whomever, right? We're sitting here talking, we're going, is Kyle Allen a threat to anybody? No, I think he's in the visor tier. I thought Colt McCoy's in the visor tier, but Jay Gruden brought him in and couldn't wait to play him. Any chance he got to play Colt McCoy, he was going to do that, right? He didn't, like, fight tooth and nail. Other guys would beat Colt out at various points, but he played Colt McCoy when he could when Colt McCoy got here. You're going to see the same thing, in my opinion, with Kyle Allen and Ron Rivera. There were a million visor-tiered quarterbacks. There were a million Jags that could have come in and mentored and done all the right things. They brought Kyle Allen in purposely. You traded a pick away, right? And I know some of that has to do with salary impact and how they're not going to spend that much for him. But to me, they showed their hand. They said, we want this. We trust this. We like this. And when a coach does that, somehow those guys find their way onto the field. That's my main thing. So you're right. I think if he wasn't in this offense, we wouldn't have this conversation. Not only was he in this offense, he was with Ron Rivera, and Rivera likes the guy. I think that matters more than anything else in this discussion.
So here's the only problem with your McCoy theory, is that Gruden only played McCoy when he didn't have a good quarterback. In 2014, when Griffin had the worst quarterback game I think I've ever seen against the Tampa Bay Bucs and just couldn't do it.
Oh, it was terrible.
And Kirk Cousins was throwing four picks against the Giants, Colt McCoy was getting his chances in the carousel. When Cousins took over as the starter in 15, Colt McCoy didn't play all year. In 2016 with Cousins, he didn't see the field, not a snap. In 2017 with Cousins, he didn't play. In 2018 with Alex Smith, until Alex Smith got hurt, he didn't play. When he had a good quarterback, Colt McCoy was irrelevant. If Dwayne Haskins is a good quarterback, Kyle Allen will be a visor guy. And that's the point. Colt McCoy was a visor guy, other than the year where they didn't have a quarterback. Kyle Allen is coming here. If the Redskins have a quarterback, then we don't need to talk about him. But the question is really about Haskins. Do they have a quarterback? 800-636-1067. The calls are next. If you're on hold, we are getting to you, I promise. If you're not, there are some lines open. We want to hear from you guys. D'Angelo Hall says he's not sure that Haskins is going to respond well to the Kyle Allen addition, and he makes it seem like Allen is a big deal and is going to push Dwayne Haskins. That's next on Grant and Danny.
And, you know, I don't think Dwayne Haskins is going to respond. A lot of young kids don't respond to that that style of coaching. Ron Rivera is a old school mentality type of coach. He wants competition. These young guys, they want things given to them. I would have loved to see Dwayne Haskins get the opportunity to be this starting quarterback in Washington, not have a talented guy like Kyle Allen behind him, a more veteran seasoned guy behind him that he knows the keys are his and he can fully go out there, make mistakes and just be young and energetic. With Kyle Allen breathing down your throat, you are not going to be able to make many mistakes. And so I love the kid, but I don't know how he wins his starting job, man.
D'Angelo Hall says he loves the kid, but he doesn't know how he wins the starting job. Grant and Danny, 106.7, the fan, that audio from NFL Network. Haskins' first team all, like, sends a vague tweet. You're not sure what he's talking about. And I can't really see his tweets. I'm blocked by Dwayne Haskins.
But yes.
Someone sent a tweet to me that said he does not like fake love. I don't know if that's in reference to D'Angelo Hall or it just came out the same day as the comments. I can't answer that. But with most of the things that he tweets, you're kind of wondering. It's very Robert Griffin-y. You're wondering, like, who's he talking about? What's he saying here? What's this message?
What
you can play detective or you could just not care. I guess one of those two options.
Yeah, but I hate playing social media translator. It's like it's my least favorite part of our gig now. But it's 2020, dude. It's what we have to do.
But it's just one of those kind of immature things, right? Where you have a buddy that does this too, like on Facebook, that'll like just send out a Facebook message back in like school when you were in high school or college, and they'd be like, "Some people just aren't as real as they think they are." And you're like, "Wait a second. Well, who's he talking about?" And you know what? Not worried about who he's talking about. This was David Carr on NFL Network talking about Dwayne Haskins, Kyle Allen, the trade for the former Carolina quarterback.
I don't think he has much, unfortunately, because he wasn't drafted by Ron Rivera. That's always the case. When you have a new head coach come in, if it wasn't the guy that drafted you, it's just a tough situation. We've seen already that he's already brought a guy in that he feels comfortable with, that he's seen play football in Kyle Allen. And so that was before he's even seen Dwayne on the field. I mean, has he even met him? I'm sure he's talked to him, but he's already kind of given him a short leash. So when you are in that situation now, you have a rookie contract, that opens you up to pretty much any possibility. If you really like a quarterback at two, I mean, and at two, Tua might be there. So, I mean, that's like something that you really have to consider. But then there's also the consideration of a defensive coach and Chase Young sitting there at number two. So, I mean, how do you not do that? So there's an interesting dilemma there in Washington. I still think it's early for Dwayne Haskins. He's got a ton of football left to play in his career. He's a talented quarterback. I liked him when he was coming out of Ohio State. He just didn't play a lot of football in college. He was kind of thrust into action in Washington. It wasn't a great scenario for him. So I think that there's still some positives for him. I just don't know if it's going to be the starting quarterback for the Redskins.
Both Carr and Hall joining Bucky Brooks. I mean, NFL Network right almost across the board saying Haskins is in some trouble as a starter. Surprising to me. Let's go to the phones, 800-636-1067. Chris in Hyattsville is on line two on G&D. What's up, Chris? How are you?
I'm good, guys. I'm hanging in there, still breathing air. Look, I think this is all just wild, just rampant speculation because there are no sports on television. Look, you talk about Kyle Allen, and you're mentioning him as if he is some kind of preeminent threat to Haskins. First of all, they traded him for a fifth-round pick, not an upper-tier draft pick. And you could say, well, why didn't they just wait for free agency? Well, if he hits free agency, he had a half-decent season last year. Maybe he commands more money than they're willing to pay. And if you sign up for a quarterback to a free agent contract for multiple years, isn't that a bigger threat than trading him for a fifth-round pick? Now, another thing to consider is, on the positive side, maybe Rivera brings in Allen precisely because he does know the offense and he can be sort of like a second quarterback coach for Haskins. Haskins needs a mentor. That's clear. We all realize that. But the one thing is you cannot teach Allen or coach up Allen what Haskins has, which is talent. Haskins has superior arm strength, and I think he's got more, moxie than Allen does. So this is all just, in my opinion, wild speculation that is because people don't have anything else to talk about.
But wouldn't you say, Chris, I mean, if you just went through every competition ever and you looked at physical tools, you'd be wrong on who the starter is on a lot of guesses, right? I mean, you look at just at Griffin and Cousins as an example. The last time the Redskins had something similar to this where they had a highly drafted quarterback and I'll say mid-round guy in Cousins, although Allen was undrafted. Like, if you just watch them throw a bullpen session, so to speak, of course Griffin's stuff is better. He's got the big curveball and the nasty slider and the elite fastball. But there's so much more to quarterbacking than that. Now, I happen to be with you. I don't think he should be worried. And if he's looking over his shoulder because of Kyle Allen, then we got bigger fish to fry here.
I just feel like, Grant, you are someone who has always said you value process over performance, at least initially, right? Like, you value the process over this instead of winning.
1,000%.
Jumping to Kyle Allen just because he was the Jag quarterback for the Panthers last year is not valuing process over results.
Agreed. Okay? And thanks for the call. And that's why I wouldn't do it. And you heard earlier today, my point is I don't think Ron Rivera is going to do it. It would be kind of looking for a quick result over the process. Their entire offseason has screamed process, has screamed long-term. I mean, Danny, what have they done that would make anyone think they're trying to microwave this thing instead of crockpot it? This has been a slow cooker offseason. To give Kyle Allen an early shot would be, to me, working in some way diametrically opposed to that.
It would be, except for this one element of it. And I agree, and I've actually liked the offseason more than I think a lot of people. They wanted more splash, and I get it. If you couldn't get some of your splashes, Hooper, Cooper, then you don't just spend just to spend. I think they've been prudent and smart. But it goes – everything you're saying I think is right. They're doing the long-term thing except for this. Had they just gone and gotten Matt Moore, another mentor, Joe Webb, you could pick whoever you want. They went and got a guy that knows the offense that's only 24 years old, or maybe he's 25, I can't remember, but he's right in that range, who just finished playing for Ron Rivera this past year. He is trying to reinforce his culture. He's trying to build his – sort of our sustaining machine here. That's why you've got Thomas Davis. That's why you've got some of the guys that have been here. That's why you got Carolina coaches. In that quarterback room, if you don't have the same competition you have at linebacker or otherwise, maybe some of the coach speak rings empty. And so early on, of course, I would say I don't think Kyle Allen should be a threat to anybody. I think Dwayne Haskins is a first-round pick with the highest ceiling in that quarterback room for a team that's rebuilding, should get every rep, every snap, every time he gets a chance to play, he should play, unless he can't walk into the stadium. But I could see a sort of, hey, we need some positive reinforcement. Hey, we need to pick the troops up a little bit here. Hey, we need to demonstrate that this isn't just empty coach speak. We're going to play Allen a couple times. That's how I think this is going to go. D'Angelo Hall and others have gone harder, basically saying that Allen's got the upper hand in this thing. I don't necessarily agree with that. I'm not going that far. But the scenario that I see is an initial struggle, and then they'll turn to Kyle Allen, as coaches tend to do. They turn to what they know.
800-636-1067 is the number. We're taking more of your phone calls as we continue. It's just surprising. You've had Bucky Brooks, D'Angelo Hall, and David Carr all come out now and say that Haskins could be fighting a real thick, strong battle here to become the starter of the Redskins. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.